Welcome back to Yang Daily. I'll be your host, Alex Cheney, bringing you all the Yang news you need to live your life right. It's gonna be a weird one tonight. I'm going to wade into the biggest story in the news right now and tie it to our mutual interests, and it's gonna take all episode. Sort of a one-off deep dive. You'll see. Quick shout out to our Tier 3 patrons, Peter Park, Shay Meehan, and Nathan Stankowski, as well as all our other patrons. You keep us all informed and engaged. If any of you out there want to join these advocates of humanity first and independent journalism, head on over to patreon.com/yangdaily. It would only take a couple of bucks a month from each listener to keep this podcast and community going and growing into the future. Now on to the news. All right, so I wasn't sure if this was relevant to the podcast at first, but after giving it some thought, I think it is quite relevant. You've probably heard something about GameStop and the stock market in the last couple of days. It's the talk of the town, but if you're in the 45% of Americans who do not own stock, or you own stock but only know the basics, then you're like most people and you probably don't understand exactly what the hubbub is about here. So let's cover the basics and then I'll explain why it matters to us. Simply put, a bunch of people got together on Reddit forums and conspired to all buy into the same stock, that stock being GameStop. GameStop stock has been steadily declining for years as the company is being replaced by downloadable games. Why did they choose this stock? Because it's also been helped along in its decline by another group of conspirators, institutional investors, hedge funds. These are basically rich people and their stock managers. The institutional investors have been engaged in what is known as shorting the stock. Normally, of course, you buy shares of a stock and you want the stock to get more expensive while you own it. That way, you can sell it for more than you bought it for. To short a stock is to bet that it's going to go down. This is done by borrowing a share from someone who owns one. The borrower gives the lender a bit of money, and the lender gives the borrower the share, with the agreement that the borrower must return that share at a later date. The borrower immediately sells that share, hoping that the stock will drop and they can buy it back later at a lower price to return it to the lender. For example, I buy a share of company X, you give me 10 bucks, borrow my share, and sell it for whatever it's worth at the time, let's say 100 bucks. Then you wait. If the share price drops to, say, $50, then you can buy it back and return it to me, having made 100 minus 10 minus 50, $40. That's how short sellers want the exchange to work. But if they're wrong about which way the stock is going, and it goes up instead, they lose money. Importantly, they lose an indeterminate amount of money, dependent only on where they or their lender calls it quits. Now, this is a legal transaction, though not a very healthy one. Note that before the short seller came along, someone was holding a share of that company's stock. That drives the stock price up, as it means there's more demand for the limited number of shares. It proves that people are willing to pay to own it at the current price, so they think it's worth that. That's important for the company, as it acts like an asset and a vote of confidence, leading to banks having more trust in them and being more willing to lend to them and at better interest rates, among other things. But then the short came along and sold that share. Now there's less demand for the stock, driving the price downward. Thus, shorting stock hurts the price and hurts the company. It also creates a strong incentive for shorts to try and destroy that company to drive the stock down. So this is what institutional investors were doing to GameStop stock. They were borrowing shares and selling them, hoping to buy for cheap later, and screwing GameStop over in the process. And they did it a lot. Like a lot. They were piling in, driving the price further and further downward with shorts. That is why the normies in the forums, called retail investors, chose this stock to buy. They knew there was a ton of shorted shares that were going to have to be bought back at some point. And when that happened, it would drive the stock up. So they started buying, and they convinced others to buy, and thousands of people piled in. And pretty soon, the stock price had doubled, tripled. The short sellers started thinking they'd better get out before it gets worse, and bought the shares that they were on the hook for to return them to the lender. That drives the stock up more. Now you have retail investors and short sellers both buying it up and driving it up, forcing more shorts to buy out. See where this goes? It's called a short squeeze, and it drove the stock from around $3 at the low to around $350 so far, or a 117 times increase. Not a happy time for short sellers who, remember, have no upper limit on what they can lose. They have to return the shares that they borrowed, no matter what price they have to pay to get those shares. And they can't wait forever. At some point, the lender will demand the shares be returned. This is how some blokes on Reddit bilked rich fat cats out of billions of dollars, getting a bit rich themselves in the process. Is it right? Is it wrong? Matter of opinion. The rich folk conspired to maliciously manipulate a stock, and the common folk conspired to exploit the exploiters. It's feeding a lot of anti-establishment and eat-the-rich sentiment, that's for sure, and it's got rich folk who got fleeced up in arms against the commoners who bested them at their own game, which is pretty amusing. But what does it have to do with Humanity First policies? Great question, thanks for asking. It's emblematic of some of the issues in our larger economy and speaks to the myth of meritocracy that often pops up in opposition to UBI. When Yang and others say that the stock market is not the economy, they're right, and this is an example of why. The fortunes of GameStop have been on a roller coaster that has nothing to do with the business itself. It was all gambling. The stock market has increasingly become less of a market for long-term investment and more of a short-term betting market. The bets based less on the worth of the company and more on what other investors will do on a day-to-day or even minute-to-minute basis. In fact, the majority of bets are not even placed by people anymore. They're made by dumb AIs that trade multiple times a second to try and squeeze out a slight positive margin by selling a little bit higher than they bought. And we should not want the economy to work this way. It's not a healthy system. That high-frequency trading is adding nothing of value. Both sides in this conflict are driven by a lust for profit. They're not looking to make the world a better place in any way other than by improving their bank account. And the shorts are actively harming a company. Tesla, until recently the most shorted company in the world by market value, has been plagued by short sellers spreading disastrous lies about them for over a decade to try and drive the stock down because they would profit off the ashes. They were trying to destroy a company that is literally dedicated to saving humanity from catastrophic climate change. In a healthy economy, businesses would not live or die at the whims of amoral gamblers. They're supposed to die or thrive on merit in a free market. And what does this say about meritocracy, the idea that success and failure are always earned and deserved? To be blunt, it says it's a load of crap. Are these price changes in GameStop stock based on GameStop's action and worth? No. Does it take any work for someone to hand their money over to a hedge fund manager and get back returns from the stock market? Is that earned in any sense? No, it's passive income. And contrary to some communist thought, I don't have a problem with passive income. I think we all should have it. And I bet you do too, because that's what UBI is. It's income you don't have to earn. Is there any good reason that someone who inherits a fortune should get passive income and someone who inherits debt should not? No, that's luck of the draw. If you want to get closer to a meritocracy, give everyone a minimum amount of passive income to build on. We could easily afford it with new money from the federal government, but for the sake of argument, let's say you don't believe that. Then why not take some of the unearned passive income from those who have it and create a minimum income for everyone? Take it from taxes on winnings from stocks and interest from bonds and any other income streams that require no effort to continue producing, including exactly the kind of speculation above, if that's allowed to continue. This is why Yang and others have proposed a speculation tax of just this sort. It's a simple idea. If unearned income is allowed, then a portion of it should go to providing a minimum amount to everyone. If we are to have a capitalist economy, then let everyone be a capitalist. Fortunes will still diverge on merit and circumstance, but everyone will have a steady floor from which to try again when they fail. Poverty will be eliminated. Exploitation will be largely eliminated as well. A true free market for labor will emerge. The true worth of work will be reflected. The full value of a product will be reflected. In so many different ways, capitalism will achieve its ideals, and all without infringing on any earned income. Sounds fair to me. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Next time you encounter the theft and handout objections, try this passive income for all argument. Flood Congress with calls, tweets, faxes, and letters using the resist bot or income movement easy contacts below. If you need help, consult Humanity Forward, the Income Movement Aid Database, the Mission Asset Fund, or United Way, and don't forget to Yang Daily.